we begin verse by verse in 1 John, we've already put a lot of things on the table. We've already looked at a lot of things. We've already seen a lot of verses in outline context and in the context of seeing how 1 John lines up with the Gospel of John. And while we have learned some things and seen some things, it's important that we take the verses as they come. We don't rewrite the verses. We don't Greek the verses. We don't hide from the verses. And as they come, that's God's word. We've got it. We don't need to fix it. It's not broken.
Amen.
1 John is a book in which tremendous controversy arises, and some things are said and done on the basis of misapprehension of some portions in 1 John that can be detrimental to the presentation of the gospel and the clarity of the gospel. It can be detrimental to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the person of God's Holy Spirit. So there are some real pitfalls into which a lot of people have tripped and gone headlong. As we come to those verses, we're not just going to deal with the verses and look at them as I would think would be the right way, but we'll also take a little time to consider what else is out there so that we're not surprised when some of these things come along as we deal with people. I'm Pauline, I'm mid-ax, I'm dispensational. I'm reading a book upon which I do not need to impose Paul. I do not need to impose mid-acts. I don't need to impose anything. I'm going to read the verses and let them say what they say. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're open-minded. That's dangerous. Mm-hmm. If you go blank, you come to this knowing some things. You come to this understanding some things. You know salvation is by grace through faith. You know it's a gift of God, not of works. Well, if you give that up, and give up those doctrines because you find in here you know you're saved if you keep the commandments, you've been blown about by every wind of doctrine.
Yes.
You're going to be in trouble. So while we're not oblivious to our belief system, we're not interested in imposing it upon the verses and making 1 John line up with Paul. And I mentioned to you last time that Dr. Peter Sturgis Rutland down there in Pensacola, Florida does exactly that in his commentary. I think I gave you the base number last time.
Yes.
And we're not going to do that. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, begins with two words that immediately cause tremendous consternation and controversy. That which. That which is neuter and does it speaks to the Lord Jesus Christ when you read the whole verse. But it's not masculine, it's not feminine, it's neuter. That which is neuter in English, it's neuter in Greek. Neuter. It's not a he, she, it's that. So the problem becomes, as you read the whole verse, it's talking about Christ. So could that which be right when it's a man? Shouldn't it be masculine? Well, then, since it's largely about Christ, let's impose Christ on the verse and get rid of the neuter. Well, that would be dishonest. So maybe there's a bigger picture here that could easily be lost. It's important to notice that the which, that which, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that from the rest of the verse, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked on, our hands have handled, the Word of Life. Who's the Word of Life? John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, referred to as a that. That which.
Yes.
Now, this may be helpful if we remember back in Luke, in chapter 1, when the angel answered and was talking to Mary, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born in thee, shall be called the Son of God. You've got a holy thing there.
Yes.
And it's important to remember that Jesus Christ is eternal. Jesus Christ was there before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was there with God the Father and God the Spirit, putting in place everything. He's created everything that is. He was back there. Do you have the man, Jesus, back there in your thinking? That might be where the rub lies. It might be that he is God manifest in the flesh from Luke 1 on. But before that, he's the angel of God, referred to that way more than 50 times in your Old Testament.
Yeah.
It might be that he's as eternal as God the Father.
Yes.
And was there to light the evolutionist Big Bang for him. And it might be that what you're actually looking at is an expansion of the person of Christ into that which is prior to his being in human form. Note in Philippians, Paul uses similar language in chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, notice the which. So that would be the office work of the
yes.
being Christ in me, the hope of glory, not the simply the man. And I say simply the man, I don't mean in any sense to denigrate that, but he was before he showed up in Mary's womb. He was before. Before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. So he's been around a while. And notice that even God the Spirit is referred to as itself. God, the Spirit itself, beareth witness with our spirit in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. And likewise, the Spirit is in that verse in a neuter sense. And we'll see how important masculine, feminine, and neuter turns out to be when we get to 1 John chapter 5, verses 6, 7, and 8.
Yes.
And the attack that comes from there on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not straining at a gnat here because it's neuter in English just as well as it is in Greek. So we're not Greeking the verses to come up with this.
Yes.
Now, clear back in what is said to be the first prophecy in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. You have the statement that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. The next word is it. So, it shall bruise thy head. What I'm attempting to communicate here is that Jesus didn't show up for the first time ever in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2.
Right.
He always was.
Amen.
Now, get your head wrapped around that, because you are surrounded by neighbors, friends, and perhaps even relatives who think Mary was the mother of God. Mary, the mother of God. And that's a way that they refer to her when they're trying to get right up against adding some cuss words to the TV show. They'll say, oh, Mary, Mother of Jesus, Mary, Mother of God. God didn't have a mind.
No.
So the Mariolaters at the University of Dayton are just going to have to get over it. The word forms in your English language exist for reasons. And I would do well as a Bible believer to respect my Bible as it stands rather than to force the humanity on the verse when the verse might speak to more and transcend the humanity, which we can trace back 2,000 years, but I've got a 6,000 year history of Christ. So some care needs to be done there. Note that the new translations going to jump right in with both feet where they're given some opportunity with the neuter and the being about Jesus, and they don't like that very much. You have the Amplified Bible make it him, making it a masculine when no text on the planet reads masculine. The Living Bible puts the name Christ in there, and no text on the planet has the word Christ in there. So lots of liberties are taken. The mess That's the abbreviation that I choose for the message, because I think the message is a mess. That's a one-man translation done by a gentleman named Eugene Peterson, and it's a mess.
Yes.
From the very first day we were there, taking it all in. What's that got to do with anything? Wow, from the very first day, really? The New American Standard and the NIV I also give you, which are not as bad, but they're not very good either.
No.
Clearly, the subject matter of the first verse is Christ, but it's more. And it reminds me, and I've given you this verse in our introduction in Hebrews chapter 2, in verses 3 and 4. Here you've got tribulation Israel saying, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first, that's not Genesis.
No.
That's John the Baptist and Jesus in their early ministry. And was confirmed unto us by them which heard him, that heard him. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now that, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, corresponds to the last half of 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, which we have heard, which we've seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon. What they've seen with their own eyes goes all the way back to before the creation, and that would be that which,
yes,
the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
and his position in the Godhead. It's important that you don't think that there was no Jesus until he shows up one day in Luke chapter 1 or Luke chapter 2. He is the creator of all things. You know that, for John told you that in John chapter 1. Paul told you that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. He is the creator of all things. By him all things consist. So to extricate him from the Godhead and drop him on Mary's knee for the first time he showed up would be a very Roman Catholic thing to do, which by definition means it's wrong. If you do something Roman Catholic, it's not going to be in the Bible. Really, if the Catholics are doing something that is in the Bible, they will have Vatican III and change it.
Yes.
Prayer beads, halos on angels, wings on angels. It's just the Mass of the Christ on December the 25th. If you want to find out how to do everything upside down and backwards, go to the Roman Catholic Church nearest you.
Yes.
Now, the subject matter being Christ is important. The scope of John's writings, does not chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 John have that big picture feel that you get in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that you get in John chapter 1, verse 1? Mm-hmm. It's not, hey, this is me, Paul, writing with Silvanus. No, it's, wow, the big picture,
yeah,
that John writes about. And it's that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we've seen with our eyes, that which the Lord Jesus Christ and his positional truth in all eternity, as well as showing up as their Messiah, all of that is included in what we know about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That is something that will seem like I spent an inordinate amount of time on this, until about 6 months down the road when we get to chapter 5, and then you say, oh, that's why we spent so much time on this.
Amen.
But having read ahead, I know that's down there.
Yeah.
And so we'll have to deal with that at that point in time. That which, in our first verse, is the Word of Life. Now the Word of Life, see that capital W? The Word of Life, which corresponds to what they saw in Hebrews chapter 2. That's Christ the Messiah. And the Word, we know, was manifest in that, John chapter 1, in verses 1, 2, and 3, the famous verses that Jehovah Witnesses kick out of their Bible and emasculate in the New World Translation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that elevates not the ink and the paper.
No.
But that elevates what you are looking at.
Yes.
The Word of God.
Amen.
And you don't deify something that was went through a printing press, but you certainly respect the words that come from it. That's God's word.
Amen.
That's not you. That's not me. That's the God of the creator of the universe, the God of all glory, gave us material that we can study to show ourselves approved unto God. And we find out that that the same was from the beginning with God. All things are made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. Now, Paul gives us something very similar in Colossians chapter 1, dealing with the importance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, well, I say it's obvious, but maybe it's not. When we find out that Christ, verse 14 of Colossians 1, is the image, verse 15, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. The Creator God of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ, attested to by Paul, attested to by John. Your Bible puts Him as a member of the Godhead before Adam looked at Eve and said, "Honey, you're the only girl in the world for me." So the significance of respecting the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ should not be lost on us when we come to words such as that witch.
"Well, I don't like talking about Jesus that way. It makes Him a that, makes Him a witch."
Get over it. Because He was God before He shows up in Luke 1 and Luke 2.
Amen.
You can find Him in in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25.
Yes.
You can find the Son of God show up in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, but He hasn't been born in Bethlehem.
No.
So the prophecy is yet and still later coming about being born in Bethlehem, but He shows up in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. Leave it alone. That's who He is.
Amen.
He's not just a carpenter's son. The little boy from the carpenter's shop. Pum-pum-pum-pum. He's a lot more than that.
Yes.
Hmm?
Amen.
And John knows it. And John is teaching it. So yes, you touched Him. Yes, you handled Him. But you know what? There's a lot more that you did. You didn't respect. And that which was from the beginning. Now, God manifest in the flesh. That's who He is, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word, John chapter 1, verse 14 of the Gospel of John, was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word. We just read about that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. The Word of life.
Yes.
Was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yes.
Christ is Christ in John chapter 1, in verses 14 and 15, and what you're looking at is much more than the baby.
Amen.
You're looking at the Creator God of the universe.
Yes.
And you know that from John chapter 1 and verse 14. Again, Colossians chapter 1, we've already looked at verses 15 and 16. We know from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Interchangeable. Christ, the Word of God. God, chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis. In the beginning, God. Don't be dicing them and parsing them and chopping them up and making one for now and one for then and another for later and creating the multiple gods that the Muslims accuse Christians of having and pretty well get away with it, because most of Christianity thinks there wasn't any Jesus to live to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does it say about Christ if you are a theistic evolutionist and think that God caused everything to evolve? Do you take away then the verses you've just read, John chapter 1, verse 14, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3? It decimates those verses, does it not? If all things are created by the Word of God, but you think they evolved, somebody's wrong.
Yes.
Now, the fact of the matter is the Word of God, He gave us a book with words in it. He created the languages with the Tower of Babel.
Yes.
Before then, there was the heavenly language, which every time you hear a voice from heaven in your Bible, it's in the Hebrew tongue.
Yes.
Is not barks and meows and cackles and moos. What's the name of that new restaurant that you want to go to, but it went out of business first? Oink-a-doodle-moo or something?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, as much as we might enjoy pets, they don't write many books.
No.
As much as we might enjoy pets, they will poop on the rug before they walk over and say, please let me go out the door. Mm-hmm. And so there's... Isn't it interesting? The theistic evolutionists and the people looking for a missing link? You'd think there might at least be a pig that could speak pig Latin.
Yes.
There might be some intermediate languages, wouldn't you think? Now, I know there's been an amazing parrot that died a couple years ago, and there's been an amazing monkey or two, but I get corrected when I say monkey, though, absolutely. Evolutionary people have their issues.
Yes.
There have been a couple of exceptions that I think are mimicry more than anything. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, no donkey, Secretariat, the greatest arguably horse that ever lived, was not saved by grace through faith and never gave the gospel to anybody.
That's right.
There's a difference between humanity and the effect of the words.
Yes.
These words won't work on your chickens.
That's right.
These words won't work on your whatever you got. We got goofy dogs now. We've got four different kinds of dogs all linked together and different names for them. They used to be called mutts.
Yes.
And they didn't fetch a lot of money. Now you link the names together and you get $500 for them.
Yeah.
My point is that the words that are on this page, God spoke the stars. It's above my pay grade, as my president famously said before he got elected. It's above my pay grade to understand exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
But I understand Jesus Christ is referred to as the Word, and the Word creates, and Jesus Christ is the Creator, and I'm not going to fool with it.
Yes.
That which he's more than a guy walking around in sandals in Bethlehem going to the Wally World.
Mm-hmm.
More going on than that.
Yes.
So, we know from Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I know I'm reading from the Lord in Matthew, but that verse stuck with me many years ago, mm-hmm. because I learned early on, you cannot tell whether or not a person is saved by how they behave.
Yes.
Because the best Christian, best whatever that is, Christian you've ever known, you catch them at the right time, mm-hmm. not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst one you ever know, you catch him on a good day, you'll think he's a saint. Well, he is, if he's saved. My point is, it can't be, it's not performance.
No.
You didn't get saved by performance, you don't prove it by performance.
Right.
I listen for the testimony, what they say. How is a soul saved? I've asked that on emails. I get all these emails with these goofy questions. I try to dispatch the question without going into a long thing.
Yeah.
They'll write me 4,000 word questions.
Yeah.
I'd have to write a book. I don't know what they know. I don't know if they even know what the terms mean that they're using.
Yeah.
One guy was mad at me the other day because I used the word vetting. He'd never heard it. To me, that's a little scary.
Yes. Yes.
But the public school system is turning them out.
Oh my.
We're going to have more of them, not fewer.
Yes.
And I make teachers mad at me when I talk like that. Well, I've met your product.
Yes.
They ring up my cup of coffee. It's 62 cents. I hand them a dollar.
I think we're wrong, Jack.
it's a long time coming. Now, the machine tells them what my change is. Mm-hmm. And the drawer pops open. And then it's... Mm-hmm. Well, they can't figure it out. It's scary.
Yeah.
Well, God manifest in the flesh. That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And manifest means he was something before he was manifest. Mm-hmm. The limitations people put on Christ, diminishing who he is, the creator God of the universe, is disgusting. And
yeah,
it just screams that these folks aren't going to trust him, because he's kind of like the water boy. He's kind of like the gopher. He's God's go fetch him.
Yeah.
He's a lesser God.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon. The Godhead of the universe tells me when they wrap everything up, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it's in Christ,
yeah,
the creator God of the universe. So, I'm going to take the words as they stand, that he's much more than his manifestation in the flesh. And
yes,
by the way, aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Because not only did he do what he did in the flesh in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he came back after having been crucified, buried, and resurrected, and he gave the Apostle Paul, not in the flesh. Paul says, know we him no more in the flesh.
Yes.
He gives to the Apostle Paul the revelation of the mystery.
That's right.
So these limitations on Jesus... Channel 16, the PBS station. Every Easter time, every Christmas time, who is the real Jesus? And they'll trot out a half a dozen theologians,
yeah,
who couldn't find a Bible verse if you gave a 2-week head start,
no,
and a flashlight to shine on. Well, he's in your heart. Good night, Nellie. Well, that which was from the beginning, which we heard John talking to his audience, which we've seen with our eyes, that wouldn't be us.
No.
Which we've looked upon and our hands have handled, that wouldn't be us.
No.
Now, the word of life, I've got a Bible, it's got the word life, it's got the word of life, it's got God's words. But it's not Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh.
No.
What I've got here in front of me, pages, is different from that.
Yes.
But everything I know about Jesus Christ, I got from here.
That's right.
If this is flawed, what about him?
Yeah.
People don't think it through when they say, well, there's no Bible that's right. Then you've got a God problem.
Yes.
Ultimately, you've got a God problem.
Yes.
It's amazing. I don't know how many times I've been called arrogant over the years, more than a few. And I love those kinds of cheap shots, because it's at me personally. You're Arab, you're this, you're that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
What matters are the words.
Yes.
Have I got them right?
Yes.
What matters are the doctrines. Have I got them right?
Yes.
It reminds me of the lady who called me from her home. She was a Methodist lady, and she was very angry. You came to my house and we weren't home, and you must have put 25 tracks all over my car. Well, I was there. We didn't do that. Possibly one guy put one on one side, one guy put one on the other side, because we don't waste the tracks. But
no,
at any rate, we left a couple tracks on the car. I'm sure we did that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ma'am, we're just trying to get the gospel out that people know Christ died, so I'm giving it to her in the home.
Yes.
The people know that Christ died for their sins and put their faith in his finished work. Well, I'm sure you're doing a good thing, but I just don't like the way you do it.
Hmm.
I said, all right. How do you do it?
Hello?
Are you still there, ma'am? I'm willing to learn if I did it wrongly. How do you do it? When you present the gospel, when you're out there doing what the Bible would have you to do to see, have all men be saved and come to the knowledge, how do you do it at your church?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's not a matter of you or I. It's a matter of this book.
Yes.
We're teaching and preaching with authority, and that comes off as arrogant, no doubt. Well, I agree that I am the most obnoxious, arrogant, nasty person you ever met, what did I say that was wrong? What did I teach that was wrong? Let's go there.
Yes.
Afterwards, you can take me out in the yard and shoot me. If that's what your where your heart is, I'll be in glory, you'll be in jail. It's challenging to deal with people.
Yeah.
It's challenging to deal with people who diminish the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, diminish the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you going to get them saved? They've got God showing up in human form, living without sin, dying in their place on Calvary's cross, going to a hell they probably don't believe in, experiencing a resurrection they probably don't believe in. And now he's seated in heavenly places and he's going to come back. They probably don't believe a lot of that. It's a challenge.
Yep.
Well, Jesus says of himself in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Now, you could do a study on the keys, and we'll not do that now. It's a fascinating thing because Peter has keys. And here you see the Lord has keys. Who's got the power of death in Hebrews chapter 1? The devil.
No.
So obviously things change.
Yeah.
Almost every term in your Bible is dispensation.
Yes.
In John chapter 1 and verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. So, here we've got that which was from the beginning. And he from the beginning shows up in human form, and in that humanity, he's got blood in his veins. Now we know from Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, the life of the body is in the blood. And Jesus in the upper room said to his men, this is my blood for the New Testament, which is for that nation, Israel's New Testament. Paul talks about having faith in his blood. The interesting thing to note, and this ties into the that which I've been talking about, I kind of bogged down on two words, haven't I? Is in Acts chapter 20 in verse 28.
Amen.
Only in your King James Bible. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, Acts chapter 20 verse 28, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Yes.
He purchased it with his, whose antecedent to his? God. The Lord Jesus Christ has God's blood in his veins.
Yes.
That's why Mary had to be virginal.
Yes.
Because were she not, does not the baby get its blood type from daddy? Dad, Pete Rose, take a paternity test, not Katrina.
Yeah.
And then another paternity test, and another paternity test, as Pete goes around.
Yeah.
So, Mary was a virgin. Christ is virgin born. Where'd the blood come from? It's God the Father's blood.
Yeah.
So, what's going on here then in Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, is not just some dude walking around town saying, blessed be the peacemaker. It's the Creator God of the universe that spoke worlds into existence.
Amen.
And this is the record. 1 John 5:11 says that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Life is in His Son. What else is in His Son? God's blood was the source of life. Without blood, the life of the body's blood?
Right.
You say, boy, this is kind of a bloody slaughterhouse religion. So said Roz Young in the Dayton Daily Snooze in one of her newspaper columns.
Yep.
She didn't like this slaughterhouse Christianity, and she was so glad that her, I think it was EUD Church or Methodist Church, had gotten a new hymnal that didn't have the word blood in it in any of the songs.
Mm.
I'm thinking, yeah, that's how it happens.
Yep.
Well, the one who created the galaxies came to Israel, and he offered his blood as a better blood sacrifice than the blood of bulls and goats.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just Jesus' blood. It's the blood of the Godhead. It's God's blood. So, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer were insufficient and the sprinkling of the unclean sanctified the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Of course, I'm reading Hebrews, the tribulation of Israel, but you see the importance of the blood there?
Yes.
And then in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And look what Christ does in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 12, where he says, neither by blood of bulls and goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Yes.
It reads almost like a blood sacrifice of his own blood.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's fascinating that when Abram was about to kill his son, God offered himself a ram. He also offered himself as a ram.
Right.
He offered himself in place of Isaac as a ram. What's he do here? He offers himself to him. Who else can satisfy God but God?
Right.
You want to give it a try?
No.
So God satisfies his own standard of justice with his own sacrifice of his own life essence. The diminution of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he cried. Mary changed diapers on a baby who's the Creator God of the universe. I understand the humanity. I don't want to have such a focus on the humanity that I lose the scope of who he is. And John writes with scope.
Yes.
The writers are so different when you get to know them. The longer you're saved, the more you read your Bible, things jump out at you. Turn to Mark, page 1. Mark, as you read him, verse 7, he's saying, here comes somebody. Verse 9, and it came to pass. Verse 10, straightway. Verse 11, and then this. Verse 12, and then this, immediately. And then verse 13, and then this. Mark's in a hurry.
Yes.
Verse 14, now after that. Verse 16, now this.
Yep.
Verse 18, now straightway. Verse 20, now straightway. Mark's in a hurry.
Yes.
Luke isn't.
No.
So, the men, as they write their Gospels, John's picture is big picture.
Yes.
And that's what you're reading in John chapter 1 and verse 1. You and I have handled the Word of Life in a different sense, in that, as Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Well, I do too.
Amen.
Not spoken. I'm not present with him, but I've got the words.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, who corrects the Roman Catholics' mistake that they make in John chapter 6, verse 53, 10 verses later, makes every Catholic Mass a joke.
Yes.
When Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 63, the Spirit that quickeneth the flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. In John 6, 53, the Roman Catholic Church bases its Mass. 10 verses later, the Lord says, now here's what that meant.
Yeah.
You'd think with 80 jillion popes and cardinals and Tweety Birds and Blue Jays, somebody would have read 10 verses down and said, well, this Mass isn't right then. Mm-hmm. You'd think that, you'd be wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, I have old Bibles that I spill orange juice on. One of them, my Schofield Bible, I spill orange juice on. And you can wipe it off real fast. But it's never the same. I did not spill orange juice on God.
No.
My Bible is a book. I'm not a bibliolater. I don't worship it. I've been in homes where the Bible might be on a coffee table, and if you put another book on top of their Bible, oh, you can't do that. The Bible's got to be on top.
Yeah.
They're superstitious about it.
Yes.
It's not that, but I certainly do respect it as God's Word settled forever.
Amen.
I certainly do respect it as heaven and earth shall pass away, but these words won't.
Yes.
And that from Psalm 119:89, the longest psalm, the longest chapter in your Bible is largely about the Word. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, we know His words are settled forever. In Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 to 7, and He regards them above His name in Psalm 138, verse 2.
Yes.
So, these people that John is addressing looked upon and their hands handled the Word of Life. That, the handling, you can remember from John chapter 20, in verses 25 to 28, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold thy hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless. Now for you and for me, seeing doesn't prove it.
No.
We take it on the word of God's authority.
Yes.
I'm not going to say blind faith. It's not that at all. But here, and notice in verses 25, 26, 27, and 28, you have the narrative where doubting Thomas, as he will forever be called, touches where the nail print was and the spear in the side. Think about that. Because 8 verses earlier, in John chapter 20, in verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not. For I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren. Between John chapter 20, verse 17, and John chapter 20, verse 27, Jesus went to the third heaven, saw the Father, and came back.
Yes.
That's moving.
Yes.
Verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. So, you can get from here to the third heaven and back in half a day's travel. These bodies celestial, if we get one like that, that's good. That's exciting. I'd like to encourage us to realize the scope and importance of that which, who Christ is from one end of the Bible to the other, the Creator God of the universe at the beginning, and He is the one in whom everything is concluded at the end in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13.
Yes.
There's no more important figure than the Godhead, and Jesus Christ is the face that we see in this book that died for our sins. He's that sacrifice. Very important then that we don't disrespect His positional truth and His deity.
Yes.
I think the last word of my outline was wow.
Yes.
Because He's God.
Yes.
Now the notes that you encounter, this is an actual Douay Reams Bible. And the Douay Rheims was done in 1658, before, am I right about that? 1658, I think I'm right about that. If I'm wrong, I hate being wrong. The Douay has notes in it that question the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in passages such as 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, the that which. Their translation in chapter 1, verse 1 is that which was from the beginning. Very nearly matches the King James Bible. Where the Douay gets it is in the notes. The New World translation is the translation of Jehovah's Witnesses. And their attack on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is well known.
Yes.
They do not believe he was God. Now the Mormons are cute. They say, yes, Jesus is God. But he didn't start out that way. He started out a man who did good works, and he earned his godhood, which is what every Mormon thinks they're doing when they do their missionary routine and all of that business. So the Jehovah Witness Bible says that which in our verse, because they like him neutered. Yeah. They like him not being God manifest in the flesh. And I've given you some things from the Jehovah Witness Bible as bonus material on the end of this outline. I wanted you to see, and the reason I brought it was when that JW is standing on your doorstep, you can take his New World Translation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because he won't trust yours. And he might not even like to touch your materials because it's demon possessed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm serious.
No problem.
I've handed Jehovah's Witnesses things and they drop them. They won't put their hands hold them. They drop them on the floor because I'm possessed with demons and so my books are demons. But if I can get theirs, then here's Mark 9:44. Here's Mark 9:46 in their translation. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a half-inch black line. What's that admit? There is a 44. There is a 46.
Mm-hmm.
And they left it out.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than translating the verse, they just give you a half-inch black line with a 44 and a 46.
Mm-hmm.
At which time you can say, oh, those are verses about hell. You don't believe in hell, do you? Is that why you took the verses out, but you don't believe in hell? Just play like you're Catholic in the New Gate. Oh, look at there. There's just a line where there ought to be words. What words are there? Oh, where the worm I have not and the fire is not quenched. You don't believe in that, do you? Is that how you guys handle it when you find something in the Bible you don't believe in? You just throw a little line. I've used this routine more than once.
Oh, yes.
It is very effective.
Yes.
It is super effective. And then, like a cat looking at a new day, oh, really? I thought you didn't believe Jesus was God. But look here in your Jehovah's Witness Bible, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but reference to the Son, God is your throne for... They call him the Son God. Huh? And you will have... Jehovah's Witnesses do good cop, bad cop.
Mm-hmm.
They do the one that's trying to get through to you and the one that...
she's so nice. Yeah. She baked me a cookie.
Yeah, and they've got the one that's simple-minded trying to get in with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that's more doctrinaire trying to see what you know and what you don't. So, give them some of these things and just watch the wheels of their mind turn.
Mm-hmm.
They need saved.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Before they'll get saved, they need Christ. Until you can identify Christ as being somebody different than they've been taught, you're really wasting your time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I like to take this away from them and use Hebrews chapter 1, verse 20, verse 8, to demonstrate the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ
yes.
in their own translation.
Yeah.
Then in Matthew in chapter 1, and verse 23, the New World Translation says, look, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
They were messed up. stupid angels. Because they call him with us as God. He's not God, right? So Charles Taz Russell and Judge Rutherford, who were the founding fathers of this cult, didn't do a crackerjack job with it.
No.
Largely because, you know what this really is? It's a New American Standard tweet.
Yes, the Roman Catholic Bible.
The Jehovah's Witness Bible matches a New American Standard closer than a Roman Catholic Bible. This. So when you know what's wrong with the New American Standard, you got them.
Yeah.
All right. One verse. At this pace, we will be done a year from now or so. That's called job security.
Amen.
It's a good thing I'm not being paid by the hour.